Hello, everybody. It's Tani here. Lovely to have you all here on this first of these Total Body Freedom teleclasses. Now, we have a few people on the call live and a few people listening on the recording who've told me that they won't be able to make these calls live. And then we have a few people who will be coming live every week, but they can't make this first one. They're reorganizing things in their schedule so they can be here next week. So I just want to welcome everyone. And I just want to start by doing a sound check with my microphone. So there's about, I think, six or seven of you on the call live at the moment. So if you can hear me fairly clearly, I'm going to ask you to press one on your phone or on your computer keyboard. And if it sounds quite distorted and difficult to hear, press two. And then I'll have an idea of if the sound is okay for you all. So if it sounds pretty good, press one. If it sounds really difficult, press two. Okay, so I've got pretty much all people pressing one. So one person has pressed two, so I would suggest it may be your connection, Susan. So just hang up and call back in. Sometimes our individual lines can be fuzzy on Maestro Conference, so that's why I'm always going to check that each week. So if you ever ask someone who just gets your own two, it probably means you need to hang up and call back in and you'll be given a better line the next time. So for everyone else, that's nice and clear. Susan's just hung up and she's calling back. I'll take everyone's hands down. Now, because of this technology we're using, I can see when you press a number on your phone or on your computer. So if during the lesson you feel like you have a question or something is causing you discomfort or pain, I want you to press 5 on your phone and I'll see that, or on your computer keyboard and I'll see that. If it's just that you don't follow the instruction, I'm going to ask you to wait a few minutes before you press 1. Because one of the things with Feldenkrais is we're trying to identify patterns in your body that are not so familiar to you. And so sometimes when we're asked to do a particular movement, it may just not make sense to us because it's very unfamiliar for our body. And so it's really nice to sit with that confusion for a few minutes and just play with what feels right for you. And eventually you probably will be able to piece it together in a way that makes sense for you, even if it's not the exact same way other people are doing it. Because Feldenkrais is not about doing things correctly or getting things right. It's about discovering easy ways of moving that feel good for you. So I'm going to ask you to hold off pressing 5 on your phone every time you don't understand something, because I'll make sure my language is very clear. And if you don't understand something, it probably just means it's just a movement pattern that's unfamiliar to you. So just sit with it for a few minutes. If after a few minutes you really cannot make sense of it at all, then please press 5 and I'll take your question. But when I really, really do want you to press 5 is if you're finding something painful. So for example, we have a pregnant lady who may be joining us in this class, so there might be some movements she's going to want to ask, can you give me a modification, Tani, because this is not comfortable for me with my big tummy. Someone else, let's say you have a sore shoulder or you've injured your arm or your lower back and we're doing a particular movement and you can't find a way to do it that's comfortable, just press 5 on your phone and I'll take your question and I'll always give you a different way of doing it that's easy for you. It's not sort of a class where you're expected to push yourself through any discomfort. In fact, the main thing we're trying to learn in these classes is how to listen to our body so that every movement we do in life feels delicious, efficient, easy and effortless. So I'm not trying to create situations where you have to push yourself or strain. In fact, it's the exact opposite. So as I said, if you ever find anything painful or difficult, press 1 on your phone. Sorry, press 5 on your phone or on your computer keyboard. The other thing I want to say at the start is just to echo what I said in the email I sent you all, because you may not have all had a chance to read it. Feldenkrais is very different than Pilates or yoga or a fitness class or a gym class. And I'm just going to spend a few minutes explaining how to get the most out of these classes. So today's movement lesson will be slightly shorter, but it's important that I spend a few minutes at the very start of this series so that for the next 10 weeks you get the most out of this. Feldenkrais is about learning. It's about learning about your patterns of movement, starting to identify what it is you're doing with your body that's creating discomfort or stiffness or just limiting you somehow in your movements. So because it's about learning, it's not about building muscles and it's not about stretching and it's not about burning fat. So it's very different than most other forms of movement any of you have done. It's about learning and becoming aware of your patterns. And because of that, the movements I'm going to ask you to do are very subtle and very small. And each movement that you do, I want you to do it so small and so slowly that you can pick up lots and lots of information about that movement. Because in these classes, we're going to be working with your brain. So each time you move your arm or move your leg or do a particular movement I describe, I want you to do it slowly enough that your brain can really feel every single part of that movement, what's happening at every single moment, which parts of your body are helping, which parts of your body are getting in the way, the quality of the movement, how smooth does it feel, how easy, how difficult, which parts of your spine are involved. And so if you do a big fast movement like in an aerobics class, your brain won't pick up any information. So it won't be a complete waste of time, but it will be almost a waste of time. The same thing if you do a big, huge movement, trying to stretch, your brain's not going to pick up very much information. It's going to pick up the most information when you do a very gentle, subtle movement. Also, one of the things that I'm training you guys in these classes is to learn to listen to your body. Because most of us have spent many, many years ignoring our body and putting our mind first. So I really want to do this at the expense of my body, or I'm just going to ignore the fact that I've got this creaking leg or this sore back or this tiny little feeling in my shoulder because I really want to keep working and I really want to go for that walk or I really want to go on that date. And we're used to ignoring the signals of our body. And so one of the things that we're exploring in these classes, as well as the actual movement and learning about our movement patterns and discovering new ways to move that feel easy, is we're starting to learn to listen to our body. So if we start stretching, we're not listening to our body, we're imposing something on our body. We're saying, body, listen, I'm going to make you get longer. I'm going to make you reach further than you want to. So that's the old pattern. That's the pattern that most of us are used to, of pushing and imposing things. So always in these lessons, I'm going to say to you, stop before you hit a stretch. Just stay in a range of movement that feels really effortless, that's nothing near a stretch, that feels really delicious. And in that range of movement is where your brain can learn. You start to pick up lots of information about your patterns. You start to discover new ways of moving. And so you start to listen, when am I in a comfortable range and when am I pushing myself? And over 10 weeks of doing these classes, you will start to be very good at sensing when you're in a comfortable, easy range and when you start to go into the old habit of pushing or stretching. And what starts to happen is, as you go about your life, you're more in touch with when you're pushing yourself generally in your life or when you're staying in a range that feels effortless and flowing and easy. So it becomes a bit of a metaphor for how we live our lives. So as we go through these lessons, I want you to be really listening to yourself, moving very small, very slow, very gentle. I'll keep reminding you so that your brain can pick up lots of information about the actual movement so you can learn how to move in a new way. Of listening to your body. Another part of listening to your body is learning how to take rests. Most of us, particularly women in our culture, are used to ignoring our need to rest because we have so many things we have to get done. So in this 1 hour a week, you're going to have the chance to rest as much as you want. So you'll hear me continually through these classes every couple of minutes saying, okay guys, let's take a rest. And I'll be suggesting rest all the time. Now, it's not because we're puffing. It's not because we've been lifting heavy weights and our body needs to rest. It's because, as I said, we're working with the brain. You're going to be picking up lots of information as you move. Your brain needs each of those rests to take all that information you've just picked up when you were moving, integrate it, figure out what to do with it, and the next time you move, it will have learnt some things and you'll move differently. But it's also a great place to practice listening to your body and resting. You'll start to feel it. At some point, your mind might start to wander, or you'll start to feel one of your muscles getting a tiny bit tired, or you'll just feel like, my body needs a rest now so I can integrate this. And I really want to encourage you to rest when you need to, and don't wait for me, because some of you, especially if you have any pain or injuries, may want to just do the movement once and then rest. So you don't need to wait and keep doing it until I say rest. You could rest even earlier than I say if you need to. And the final thing I'll say is if you have pain, if you have a sore back at the moment, or you have a sore shoulder, or some of you have neck pain, I know there's some people doing this class who have no pain or stiffness, and some who have a lot of pain or stiffness. So you're all in different places, and that's okay, because Feldenkrais is appropriate for everybody, even elite athletes. I've taught the exact same lesson to someone with a broken pelvis and an Olympic rower, an Olympic athlete. They were there at the same time, and I taught the exact same lesson and improved a lot. So anyone can do these lessons. But what I want to say is, if you have any pain, do the movements even smaller than you would. Let's say you have one sore shoulder and one good shoulder. With your sore shoulder, do the movements even smaller. Do them so small that if I was looking at you, I would not even be able to see that you're moving. Do them like microscopically small. And do them really slowly and really gently. Because as I said, we're working with the brain. And the brain doesn't care whether you do a big movement or a small movement. All it's interested in is, what are you doing when you do that movement? Which part of your spine moves? Does it connect into your ribs? What's happening through your neck? That's the sort of questions your brain is asking. It doesn't make any difference to those questions if you do a big movement or a small, fast or slow. But if you do it smaller and you do it slower, you will be able to listen to yourself better and you won't hurt yourself. And if it's still not comfortable, if you really have a bad injury and it really is too painful to do any movement in a particular section of the lesson that we're doing, firstly put your hand up, press 5 on the phone or on your keyboard if you happen to be on the call live, and I'll give you a modification. But if you're listening on the recording so you can't press 5 on your phone, just do that part of the lesson in your imagination. Just imagine that you're doing a very small movement, very slow movement. And because we're working with the brain, you will still get huge improvements from simply imagining it. And I know that for a fact, because when I started my Feldenkrais training, I was in terrible pain. I could hardly lie on the floor. I couldn't turn my head. I couldn't lie with my legs long. I was in really extreme levels of pain. And I had to imagine quite a lot of the lessons in the first few weeks of my training. And I was stunned that every time I stood up, I felt better. Because my brain was still picking up information and learning things. I was doing it in my imagination. So I just want to encourage you all that. So just to sum up, this is not about stretching or building muscles. This is about really starting to learn about how you move, and starting to train yourself to listen to your body. So because of that, I want you to move really gently, really slowly, do very small movements, and take lots of rests. If you have problems, just press 5. So having said all that introductory stuff, that's really important so that you get the most out of the next 10 weeks. I will be obviously reminding you every week to do things small and gentle. We're going to do, excuse me, I'm just going to take a sip of water as my throat's a bit crackly. Oh, that's better. We're going to do a different lesson every single week. There are over 1,000 Feldenkrais lessons, and I'm going to pick some very fundamental ones that are very gentle and a really lovely introductory lessons for people, because most of you haven't done much Feldenkrais before. They're all going to be in different positions, exploring different movement patterns. The one we're going to do today is a really foundational one that will make many of the other lessons we do much easier for you. So what I want you to do is just start by coming up to standing if you happen to be sitting down. Just standing somewhere on the floor, have your eyes closed if that's comfortable for you, but if you're someone who has problems with balance, keep your eyes open. And let's just start by noticing how you're standing. How far apart are your feet? Do you feel like your feet point straight ahead, or does one of your feet maybe point a little bit out to the side? You might even want to have a look down and see. In my case, my right foot sticks out to the side and my left foot is straight ahead. And there's no judgment about it. It just gives you some information about how your hip joints, your knees, your ankles are organized. Everyone's legs and feet will be different. And now just start to notice, on which foot are you standing more heavily? Is your weight more on your left foot or is your weight more on your right foot? And for some of you, there'll be a huge difference. For some of you, it will feel the same on both feet. And now bring your attention to your left foot and just notice, are you standing more on the heel or more on the ball of your foot? Are you standing more on the inside edge of your left foot or the outside edge? And then notice your right foot. Are you standing more on the heel or the ball of your foot? Are you standing more on the inside edge or the outside edge of your foot? Now I'd like you to just bring your attention back to your whole body again, and then just slowly and gently, really slow motion, shift your weight a little bit over onto your left foot. Your right foot stays on the floor, but you just shift your weight so you're standing more fully on the left foot. So your left leg is doing most of the work now. And just pause there over your left foot. And just notice now that you're on your left foot, what happens? Does your knee tend to lock or does it bend? Does your left hip tend to jut out or does it stay over your foot? And there's no good or bad here. It's just noticing. And we're going to compare it at the end of the lesson. And then slowly come back to the middle. And let's just do that movement a couple of times really slowly. Slowly coming over onto the left foot. And slowly coming back to the middle. Just feeling, what's that movement like through your left hip? Does it feel creaky? Does it feel stiff? Does it feel free? Does it feel possible? For some of you, it may not be much of a movement. And then come back to the middle and now slowly start to shift your weight over onto your right foot. And once you get onto your right foot, just pause there for a moment and notice, how does it feel different to stand mainly on your right leg compared to your left? Does your right knee tend to bend or does it stay straight? What happens through your foot? Does your hip tend to stick out or does it stay over the knee? How is it different? Do you feel more stable on this leg or less stable? You might want to go back and compare it to standing on the left leg. So go all the way back onto the left leg. And notice which feels more stable. Most of us will have one that's better at standing, that's more organized for standing. So you might have a feeling of that here. Now come back to the middle. And just several times, really slowly, shift your weight over onto your right leg. And back to the middle. And then over onto your right leg, really slowly. Middle, really slowly. And just notice what's different going in this direction through your right hip. Does it feel freer or less free? And then leave that and just go for a small walk around your space, wherever you're in. It might only be a very small space for some of you. It might be a large space. And just notice as you're walking, how do your two legs swing? Today's lesson is going to be looking at the hips and pelvis. So just notice, does one leg take a bigger step than the other? Does one leg seem to swing more freely than the other? Do you land more heavily or push off more heavily on one foot than the other? And some of you might be saying, I have no idea. I can't feel any of this. These questions don't mean anything to me. And that's okay, because one of the things we're going to be building over this 10 weeks is your ability to sense yourself. So if you've never done this kind of work before, I don't expect you to be able to sense very much. So some things you might feel and others you might just not sense anything, and that's totally fine because we're going to be building that. It's a skill and it takes practice. So now slowly come down to lying on the floor. I did say to you in the email we were going to be doing a lesson all about rolling, but I've changed my mind when I woke up this morning. I think I want to do a more introductory lesson that will be helpful for all the other ones. So come to lying on your back. Just checking to see if anyone's pressed 5. No one has. Good. So just come to lying on your back. Have your knees bent if that's comfortable for you, or if you can, have your legs long on the floor. But some people, if you have a sore lower back, you might find you need to have your knees bent. That's okay. Just notice what's possible for you. Some of you might find you can have one leg long, but you need to bend the other one. So just do what's comfortable for you. If you feel like you need to have a flat towel under your head, if it feels too far back to have your head on the floor, just fold up a towel and put it under your head because we want you to feel really comfortable. Now just start to notice how your two shoulders are lying on the floor. Does one feel heavier or wider than the other? And now notice your lower back, the space behind your lower back. For some of us, especially if you have your legs long, you'll feel a little bit of an arch there. You just notice, is it more arched on the left or is it more arched on the right? Does it feel comfortable or uncomfortable? And now notice your two buttocks on the floor. Does one buttock feel a bit softer or a bit wider or a bit more spread out than the other? And now bring your attention to the back of your pelvis. The pelvis is the big round bone in the middle of us. Most of us don't have that much awareness of our pelvis. But just bringing your attention to it now, do you feel like you're tilted a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right? And in the lesson we're about to do, we're going to be exploring the movement of the pelvis, the tilting movement of the pelvis. So you might feel at the start like you're a little bit leaning on the left side of your pelvis or a little bit leaning on the right. Do you feel like your pelvis is rolled forward a little bit towards your feet or rolled backwards a little bit towards your head? Or does it feel like it's lying in the middle? Now, if you have your legs long or if you're comfortable just for a moment to have your legs long, don't do it if it hurts your lower back. Just notice, does one leg feel longer than the other or shorter than the other? Is one of your legs lying further out to the side or further towards the middle than the other? Notice where your two big toes are pointing. Is one pointing more out to the side than the other? Notice your two knees, where are they pointing? Is one pointing more to the side than the other? And now notice the way the back of your heels contact the floor. You contacted the floor on the same part of your heels. Maybe you're more in the middle of one heel, more on the side of the other heel. Notice the back of your two calves. Does one feel squishier or softer? Notice the space behind your two knees, if you have your legs long. Does one feel more lifted off the floor? Does one feel closer to the floor? And now go ahead and bend both of your knees and stand your feet. And just notice, how does that feel, that movement of bringing your legs from lying long to standing bent? And then again, slowly lengthen your legs again and just notice, how does that feel? And if you've done this particular Feldenkrais lesson before or you've worked with me with lots of Feldenkrais, as a couple of you have, you'll be doing this probably in a very different way to most of the others. So maybe for those of you who know what I'm talking about, just bring your legs up to being bent in the way that your average person does it. So everyone else, just bend your legs again and just notice, how much work does that require through your stomach, your back, to bend your legs? And then one more time, lengthen your legs and notice, how much work does that require? Hopefully that hasn't hurt anybody's back doing that movement. Now what I want you to do is just bend your left leg, so your left knee is bent, your left foot stands on the floor. And keep your right leg long. Now I want you to bring your attention to your right hip joint at the very top of your right leg. And what I want you to do is just very gently roll the whole of your leg a little bit to the left, the foot, the knee, and roll the whole of your leg a little bit to the right. So it's like rolling a rolling pin. Very slowly, very gently, just to feel what range of movement or what quality of movement is possible in this right hip joint, which is at the very top of your right leg. Does it feel like your leg rolls freely, or does it sort of jump or feel a bit jerky or bumpy in places? And then pause. And now what I want you to do is the same movement, but really, really tiny. So it's light and fast, just like a jelly wobbling. Left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. And just have a go and see if you can figure out how to do a tiny little left, right, left, right, left, right wobbly movement with that leg. And if your hip joint feels very stiff, it probably won't feel very light. And that's okay. And leave that. Now bend your right leg up, lengthen your left leg. Bring your attention to the whole of your left leg, including the hip joint at the very top. And now do a very small, slow movement. Let's go back to the slow movement of rolling your leg a little bit to the left and a little bit to the right. You feel your foot kind of makes a movement like a windscreen wiper on a car when it's raining. Your knee moves slowly to the left and slowly to the right. Your whole leg rolls. And just comparing the quality of this movement to the other leg. Does this hip feel freer or less free than the other one did? And then let's play with that very light, fast, jelly wobble movement. Just left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. Very tiny, very, very, very tiny, like a tenth of an inch or 1 millimeter. Very tiny. Just to see how does this hip joint compare to the other one. And then bend your left leg up. So both your feet are standing. And once again, lengthen your right leg. And now we're going to explore a sequence of movements with the right leg. And I've given you the left leg bent just to make it really comfortable for you. So I'd like you to, instead of rolling your leg left and right, I'd just like you to roll your leg to the right and back to the middle. So just rolling the whole of your right leg tiny bit to the right. It probably won't go very far. Maybe just a fraction of a movement, and then back to the middle. And let's do that again, rolling your right leg a tiny bit to the right, just as far as it goes easily, and back to the middle. Now in a moment I'm going to ask you to increase the size of that rolling to the right, and see if you can find a place where your right knee would like to soften and bend a little bit. But you're rolling the whole of your right leg a little bit to the right, until you feel your right knee wants to soften and bend just the tiniest bit, and then you unbend your knee and roll your leg slowly back to the middle, just to where it started. You don't need to roll it to the left, just to wherever it started. And then roll your leg to the right again, invite that knee to soften and bend. So as your knee bends, it will point out to the right, and this time you could allow it to bend a tiny bit further. Just the tiniest bend of your knee, you'll feel your right heel slide a fraction up along the floor as your right knee points out to the right. And then I want you to unbend your leg so your right foot slides away from you and your leg is long, and then you gently allow it to roll back to where it started. And let's continue to explore this movement. Rolling your right leg to the right, inviting the knee to soften and bend, and then this time bending it a tiny bit further so that your right outside edge of your foot slides a tiny bit towards you along the floor, and then you slide your foot away, you straighten out your knee, and your leg just finds its way back to the beginning. Now we're going to continue to explore the same movement, and each time I want you to bend your knee a tiny bit more so that the outside edge of your right foot slides another fraction of an inch or a millimeter towards you on the floor. So you roll your right leg to the right, invite the knee to soften and bend. The knee points out to the right, your knee bends a little bit more, your outside edge of your foot slides towards you, and feel how your pelvis can start to help you a little bit by rolling to the right. And then you slowly unbend your leg, your foot slides away from you, your pelvis finds its way back to the middle, and your leg becomes long again. Let's just continue to explore the same movement, each time bending your knee a tiny bit further so your foot slides a tiny bit closer to your bottom, feeling how your pelvis can roll to the right a little bit to help you. So your foot, outside edge of your foot, slides a tiny bit further each time, and then you slowly slide your foot away. Now, if you happen to be lying on a lovely soft blanket, you probably find this a very delicious movement. If you're doing it on a sticky yoga mat, you might be finding it a little bit frustrating sliding your foot up. So you might want to move yourself a little bit over so you're not on the yoga mat. You might want to do it on your own floor or on your carpet so that your foot can slide really gently and slowly along the floor. And you always end up with your leg back to the beginning, fully long, and then just rest for a moment. Lengthen your other leg and have a complete rest. If you need to, you could bend both knees if that's more comfortable for your back, or just bend one knee. But have your legs resting. And just notice while you're resting how your two legs lie on the floor now. The two sides of your pelvis, your two buttocks, two sides of your lower back. Some of you might feel that your right leg feels a bit longer or shorter now or a bit heavier, or maybe it's lying on the floor a bit more heavily or lighter. Once again, bend your left leg so your left foot stands on the floor. And let's start to explore the same movement. Rolling the whole of your right leg to the right, inviting the knee to soften and bend. You may already notice the weight starts to roll on your pelvis to the right a little bit as your knee bends out to the right and you drag the outside edge of your foot a little bit towards your bottom as your knee bends a little bit further, feeling your weight roll onto the right side of your pelvis. And then you slowly start to straighten out that leg, feeling your pelvis come back to the middle. Then you come back to the beginning and have a brief rest, and then exploring that movement again, allowing your pelvis to roll to the right. Your right knee bends out to the right. Your right foot slides towards you a little bit more. And now your knee's probably starting to get quite bent. And then you slowly lengthen your leg. Feel everything come back to the beginning. Now the next time you do the movement, rolling your leg out to the right so your knee is bent out to the right, bending your knee towards you so your foot slides towards you, I want you to find a place where you could bring your foot so close towards your buttock that you could actually then bring your right knee up to the ceiling so that you're standing on your right foot. So it'll be a slightly different place for each person. And so you end up with both knees bent, both feet on the ground. And now from here, start to do a very small movement of tilting your right knee to the right. You may need to adjust where you have your right foot, so it's somewhere that matches your left foot that's quite comfortable and stable. And then just start to tilt your right knee a tiny bit to the right, not all the way out to the floor, just a small movement to start with. And feel what happens under your right foot. Does the weight shift a little bit to the outside edge of your right foot? And then tilt your knee back to the middle. Tilt your knee out to the right again a little bit. Feel the weight shift to the outside edge of your right foot. And then slowly tilt the knee back up to the ceiling so your weight comes back to the whole of your right foot. And now the next time you tilt your knee out to the right, notice what happens under your pelvis. You might want to tilt your knee a tiny bit further to the right. And just start to listen to at what point does your pelvis want to roll just a little bit to the right to help you to take your knee a bit to the right. And then slowly return your knee slowly up towards the middle, feeling how your pelvis finds its way back to the middle. And now we're going to continue this movement, and each time tilt your right knee a tiny bit further to the right so that your pelvis rolls a little bit further to the right. Keep your left knee pointing up to the ceiling so that it's all about the right hip joint. And each time you slowly bring your right knee back up to the ceiling, you feel your pelvis come back to neutral, your right foot comes back to neutral. And then you do the movement again. It's like you're teasing out that right knee. Each time it goes a tiny bit further, allowing your pelvis to roll to the right, allowing your right knee to hang further and further to the right each time. Still going slowly. So even though you know now where this is heading, it doesn't mean you need to speed it up. Slowly tilting your knee all the way to the right. And notice if you can now let your right knee hang quite far out to the right. You'll feel that you're lying on the outside edge of your right foot. And then pause there when your knee's hanging out as far as it can to the right without stretching. So it's nice and comfortable. You're probably on the outside edge of your right foot. And now what I want you to do is just slide your outside edge of your right foot a little bit away from you so your knee opens a tiny bit. And then slide your foot back to where it started so your knee's really bent. And just continue exploring this tiny movement. Sliding the outside edge of your right foot a tiny bit away from you and sliding it back. And each time you do it, could you invite your right hip to let go a little bit more? So you're just sliding the outside edge of your foot a tiny bit away. Could you just let that right leg just completely let go? And now start to slide that right foot a little bit further each time. Slide it a bit further away from you and then slide it back towards your bottom where it started. And then slide it next time even further away from you so your leg is really opening. And then slide it back to where it started so it's very bent again. And then the next time could you slide it all the way long so that your right leg lies fully long on the floor. And then take a rest. If you want, you can lengthen your left leg as well if that's comfortable, or keep your left leg bent if it's not. Just take a complete rest now. And if you do have both legs long, you may want to notice now how your two legs are lying on the floor. You may find that one leg is a little bit heavier or wider, or just spread out differently. One of your legs might even feel longer. So now bend your left leg again, stand your left foot. And now we're going to do one continuous movement with the right leg. You're going to roll the right leg to the right, slowly invite the knee to soften and bend, slide the outside edge of the foot all the way up towards our bottom until that place where we could easily bring the right knee up to the ceiling so we're standing on the right foot. And then slowly tilt your right knee out to the right, let your pelvis roll to the right, let your right knee hang all the way to the right so you're lying on the outside edge of your right foot. Slide your foot all the way long until your leg is long again. And then repeat that. Rolling your leg all the way to the right, your knee points out to the right, you bend your knee, drag the outside edge of your foot towards you all the way in until you can bring your knee up to the ceiling and stand on that foot. Your pelvis comes back to the middle. Then you rock, tilt your knee out to the right, your pelvis rolls to the right, until your knee's hanging all the way out. You slide the outside edge of your foot all the way along, your pelvis comes back to the middle, and you pause. And it's kind of like bringing the leg up and down like a frog. It's a frog movement. They call this frog movement lesson, or frog lesson, frog legs. I call it actually frog legs. Some of you have done it with me before. It's one of my favorite lessons. And so let's explore that frog leg movement again. Do it in your own time, a whole movement of bringing that leg up to standing and back. Really slowly, we're rolling the leg to the right, the knee points out to the side the whole time. And feel, as you repeat this movement up and down in your own time, feel the movement of your pelvis. Now there's a certain point where your pelvis is flat, and there's a certain point where your pelvis rolls out to the middle, rolls out to the side, sorry. And there's a certain point where your pelvis finds its way back to the middle again. Noticing that at any point, if you paused, your knee would be hanging out to the side or it will be finding its way back to the middle. The next time your right leg is long, leave it, have a rest. If you're comfortable, lengthen the other leg as well. And just having a rest. Of course, if you need to rest before I say rest, please do. Just noticing while you rest the weight underneath the two sides of your pelvis, the way your two buttocks are lying on the floor, and also you might even sense a difference under the two sides of your lower back. Now have your legs long and see what it's like with your left leg to, in the normal traditional way, bend your left leg without doing the frog legs. And then slowly unbend it again. And just notice how much work does your back have to do or your belly to do that slowly? What do you have to do with your stomach muscles? And then leave that. And now let's compare doing the frog leg version with the right leg that you just learnt. Rolling your pelvis to the right to help you. Sliding your foot up, the outside edge of your foot up, coming to standing. Rolling your pelvis to the right, letting your knee hang out. And just do that once or twice and just notice. Does that require you to do less work with your stomach muscles, with your back? Some of you might feel that clearly. Some of you might feel that the other one is easier. That's okay. So now bend your right leg, stand your right foot. Actually, let's just do a test movement. Sorry, lengthen your right leg again. Just simply see now what it's like to do that very light jelly movement with your right leg, where you just go left, right, left, right, left, right. The whole right leg just rolls left, right, left, right, left, right. Very small, very light. Just notice if that feels a bit easier through your right hip joint now. And then leave that and compare it to the left leg. I'm doing it on my own legs and they feel completely different. You might find that your left leg doesn't move quite as freely as the right one. You might want to try the right one again. Just see that for yourself. And then leave it. Now, some of you may find the left one's easier. That may have been your easier leg from the beginning. So it will always be different for each person. Now, bend your right leg up and stand your right foot. Have your left leg long on the floor. Now, we're going to explore a similar sequence with the left leg. Now, even though you know what's coming, I want you to be really in the present moment and not jumping ahead and not expecting it to be the same. Because when we bring expectations to things in our life, as many of you know, is when we interfere with our own learning. We interfere with being in the present moment. Your left leg may be completely differently organized to your right. So I want you to be really open to whatever you notice with this new leg. It may be completely different. So let's start by just rolling the whole of your left leg a little bit to the left and just letting it return to the starting position. And then the next time you do this rolling to the left, start to listen for the very first hint of bending in your left knee. And it can be a really exciting moment, that first moment where you feel the possibility that your knee could bend. And if you're doing it faster, you would miss that moment. Sometimes it can feel not at all comfortable to linger in that moment, that first hint of bending. Already feeling for some of you, your pelvis might already be rolling to the left. And now start to actually allow your left knee to bend a little bit more out to the left, just a hint of bending. So your left heel might slide the tiniest fraction of a movement up on the floor, and then you unbend your leg and you rest. So we're doing this very slowly. Eventually you'll bring your leg up to standing, but I want you to take maybe 20 movements to get there. So that's how slowly I want you to incrementally, gradually add a little bit more bending in your knee so that each time you do it, your outside edge of your foot will slide a tiny bit further towards you, your knee will bend a little bit more to the left, and your pelvis will roll a tiny bit more to the left. So just continuing to explore this, and each time your leg will slowly lengthen out again, your pelvis will return to the middle. And so Kapha told you I want you to take about 15 to 20 goes movements to get to where you know you're going. You've now got permission to go really slowly, increase it only a tiny bit each time. And as you explore this, I want to add a subtle distinction that will make it more interesting on the second side. I want you to notice the pathway that your foot is making along the floor as your knee bends, and I want you to see if you can slide your foot back along the exact same pathway. So you could imagine if you were sliding your foot through sand, it would make a path. And can you slide it back along the exact same path? Each time you're sliding the outside edge of your foot a little bit further along that path, as your knee bends a little bit further and your pelvis rolls a little bit further to the left, and each time you slide your foot back home, could it come home along the same exact trajectory, same exact pathway? Each time you're increasing the movement a tiny bit more. Everyone's doing it in their own time, but hopefully you're all going really slowly still. Just because you know where you're going doesn't mean you need to speed up. Because this work is not about getting to a goal or an end. It's about what you notice along the way and what you learn. So for example, start to notice what's happening through your belly button. As your knee bends more and more and your pelvis rolls to the left, can you feel how your belly button's rolling a little bit to the left? And then as you lengthen your leg long again, you return to the beginning, your belly button points up towards the ceiling. Now start to notice what's happening higher up through your chest. As your knee bends out to the left, you slide that foot towards you. Can you allow your chest even to roll a little bit to the left to help you? And as you slowly lengthen out your leg, notice how your chest returns to the middle. So you're probably starting to get towards the point now where your left heel is coming towards your buttocks, somewhere near the point where you could bring your knee up towards the ceiling. So go ahead and do that. Find that place where you could bring your knee up towards the ceiling and you end up standing on both feet. Bring your left foot somewhere comfortable that you can stand on both feet. And now let's start to explore the other half of the movement. Start to allow your left knee to hang just a tiny bit to the left and start by feeling what happens under your left foot. Is it different than on the other side? Each time, start to hang your left knee a tiny bit further to the left, noticing when does your pelvis start to roll to the left. For some people, your knee will hang quite far out before your pelvis will move. For some people, your pelvis will roll from the very beginning. It just depends on how your hips and pelvis are organized. So just notice that for yourself. Taking the knee a little bit further to the left each time so you come more onto the outside edge of your foot. And just as slowly finding your way back up, your knee back up to the ceiling. Pelvis comes back to the middle. Each time allowing that left knee to hang further and further, your right knee stays pointing up to the ceiling, so something's having to learn to move around that right leg. The pelvis is having to learn to roll relative to your right hip to enable your left knee to hang out to the left. So that in itself is an interesting thing to focus on. Notice as your knee hangs out to the left, your belly button rolls a little bit to the left. Some of you might even feel your chest rolls a little bit to the left. And then the next time you do the movement, let your knee hang all the way out as far as it can comfortably to the left. So you're hanging over on the outside edge of your left foot. And just start to slowly slide the outside edge of your foot just a tiny bit away from you and back to where it just was, so your knee's nice and bent. Your left knee hangs all the way out to the left. Your pelvis is rolled all the way over to the left. You're just unbending the knee a fraction so your foot moves a tiny bit away. And then you bring the foot back to where it was. You're just teasing out the beginning of this movement and seeing, could you allow that left hip to let go even further? If you roll quite far onto the left side of your pelvis, you might even find your knee can lie on the floor. And now start to, each time you do this movement, slide your left foot a tiny bit further away from you. And then slide it back to where it just was. And each time slide it a little bit further so you're opening your leg a little bit further each time. And then let it fully lengthen and come back to having your leg completely long. Lengthen your right leg as well and have a rest. Just noticing while you're resting, what feels different now lying on the floor? So I personally spent many hours at the computer yesterday, partly organizing this class and a bunch of other things. And I woke up this morning a little bit twingy in my lower back, which I do sometimes from sitting too much at the computer. And then I first started in both of my legs. But now after having done these movements, it feels very comfortable and easy. So some of you who also had some pain in your lower back or stiffness there might be finding that you could even try now lengthening both legs. You might find it feels easier. Some of you might find your two buttocks are lying differently or pelvis feels like it's rolled a little bit differently. Some of you might find your calves or heels are different. Some of you might find your chest and shoulders are lying differently because we have actually been using pretty much the whole body to do this movement. And now bend your right leg, stand your right foot. If you can remember to do it with the frog movement, that's good, but if not, that's okay. And now let's start to do with the left leg the full frog movement. So start by rolling the whole of your left leg to the left. Your left knee points all the way to the left. Slide the outside edge of your left foot towards you until that place where your knee could come up to the ceiling so you're standing on your foot. And then let your knee tilt all the way to the left. Let your pelvis roll to the left. When your knee's gone as far as it can, slide the outside edge of your foot all the way long until your leg is long. Your pelvis rolls back to the middle. Then roll your leg to the left. Your pelvis rolls to the left. Your knee bends all the way up. You bring your knee to the ceiling. You stand on your foot. Tilt your knee all the way to the left, roll your pelvis to the left, slide your leg all the way along. Now start to do this lighter and faster. Now that your brain has figured out all the interim pieces of this puzzle, you can start to do it nice and fast, and not fast, but a little bit faster. Sort of a nice, easy speed. Lighter and quicker. The leg comes up to standing, it tilts all the way out, slide long, hold that to the side, the knee bends, you bring your leg up to standing. And just notice how the pelvis is just rolling to the left and back to the middle, to the left and back to the middle. The next time your leg is long, pause, let your right leg lengthen and have a complete rest. Now, what's it going to be like to work with the two legs? So let's see. Keeping your right leg long on the floor, start to do the frog leg movement with your left leg. Left leg rolls out to the left. You need to let your pelvis roll to the left. Bring your left foot up to standing and keep your left leg standing. Now roll your pelvis to the right, bend your right leg out to the right, bring your right leg up to standing like a frog. And then let your right knee hang all the way out to the right, lengthen your right leg like a frog. Then let your left knee hang out to the left and lengthen your left leg like a frog. And let's do that again. Bring your left leg up to standing like a frog. Let your pelvis roll to the left. Bring your right leg up to standing like a frog. Let your right pelvis roll to the right. Then bring your right leg back down like a frog. Then bring your left leg back down. Just go ahead at your own time and do this movement one leg at a time. You may want to change the order of the legs. You may want to start with bringing the right leg up and the left leg up, taking the left leg down and the right leg down. You may want to completely change the orders and do them in a completely different order than I've said. Maybe you want to bring one leg up and down, then the other leg up and down. Just play with it. Feeling what it's like. Noticing how your pelvis can help you at every point. So you're bringing your legs from straight to bent, but in a totally different way. Now, if any of you have had babies, or have seen little babies, or have cousins or friends with babies, this is how babies bring their legs up. You may have noticed that babies don't bring their legs up through the middle because it's not biomechanically efficient. It's just what we've learnt how to do after years of sitting in chairs and learning how to ignore our bodies. But babies who just know how to move beautifully and easily, when they bend their legs, they bring them out to the side like this, like a frog. When they bring their knees up over their chest, they do it by bringing their legs out to the side like a frog because biomechanically it's the easiest way to do it. It requires the least amount of work. So the next time your legs are long, have a rest, and just notice now how you're lying on the floor. Notice the way your two buttocks are lying on the floor, the way your pelvis is lying on the floor. Now, just to drive the point home, in case you haven't already sensed this, what I'm going to ask you to do now, and it's not going to be fun, is to, in the traditional way that we all do it, bring both of your legs up to standing, bend both of your knees. And just notice, and you do as you do that slowly, how much work it requires for your lower back, your buttocks, your abdomen, and slowly lengthen your legs straight down through the middle, and just notice how much work you have to do in your stomach. For some of you, lower back pain, this is probably really not at all fun, so maybe only do it once. If you don't have pain in your lower back, let's do that again. Bend your knee straight up through the middle and just feel as you do it slowly how much work it takes. And there's a reason why we don't move slowly in our societies, because if we did, we would have to face what it is we're doing to our bodies each time we move. So in this work, you're just going to start to get to feel what our habits are and actually the sort of pain they're causing us. So lengthen your legs again. And now let's bring our legs up to standing in this new way, like you were a little baby. Roll your pelvis to one side, bring your leg up like a frog, roll your pelvis to the other side, bring your leg up like a frog, and take your legs back down. Just notice how much easier that is. You don't need to do all that work with your abs, don't need to do all that work with your lower back. And if you have back pain, I really encourage you to bring your legs up like this. There are other ways to do it as well that are easy, but this is the first one I'm going to teach you. And the reason I'm teaching you this is for many of the lessons we're going to do in the next 10 weeks, I'm going to say to you, okay guys, bend your knees, stand your feet, and I want you to play with sometimes remembering to do it like a frog rather than bringing them straight up through the middle, because it's going to mean that each time you do it, you won't be slamming together the discs of your lower back and straining your abs and doing all that damage to your lower back, and you'll be actually moving in a nice, easy way. And then when we go through the rest of the lesson, each time I say, bend your knees, stand your feet, you'll have a nice, effortless, easy way to do it that is really, really lovely for your hips, lower back and pelvis. So hopefully some of you could feel that. Those of you who are on the call live, if you are near your phone or your computer, I'm going to ask you to press 1 if you could feel a difference, if it felt easier bending your knees like a frog compared to the traditional way. I'm going to ask you to press 2 if you found it easier to do it the traditional way. So press 1 if you prefer the frog legs way, if you found it easier on your body. Press 2 if you found that traditional way easier. Okay, I'm seeing everyone pressing 1. They all really have felt that, and that's great. I remember the first time I did this lesson, I was absolutely stunned to know that all these years I'd been aggravating my own lower back by just habits that I didn't even know I was doing. So that's beautiful. So now for the last time, just lying with your legs long on the floor, and just take one last scan through your body, noticing the way your shoulders are lying on the floor, the way your pelvis is lying on the floor. Does it feel more even now? Does it feel flatter or heavier? Notice the way your calves are lying on the floor, the space behind your knees, the space behind your lower back. Notice the two heels. And just finish with doing a tiny little movement with your right leg, left, right, left, right, left, right, just to feel what that right hip feels like now. And then a tiny little movement, left, right, with your left leg, just to feel what that hip joint feels like now. Many of you will notice it feels a bit freer. And now, like a frog, bring your legs up to standing one leg at a time. Another lesson, we might look at doing it with both legs at once, but for now, let's just do it one leg at a time. And then once your legs are standing, roll yourself to the side nice and slowly. We will do a lesson down the track on how to get up off the floor easily, but for now, just roll to your side. And slowly come up to sitting. And then just take your time to come up to standing. And let's see what this lesson has done to how our body's lying on the floor. Sorry, to how our body's organized for standing. Did I just say lying on the floor? So come up to standing, stand on the floor, and just take a moment to close your eyes and notice, how does your body stand now? You feel like you're organized a bit differently. Some people might feel like their legs feel very long now, or very strong, or very short, or very weak. Everyone will be different. Notice your weight on your left foot. Is it more on the toes or more on the heels, more on the outside edge or the inside edge? Notice your weight on your right foot. Is it more on the toes, more on the heels, more on the outside edge, more on the inside edge? And then just see what it's like to slowly shift your weight over onto your left foot, more onto your left foot, and just notice, how does it feel now standing on your left foot? Does it feel more sturdy or more stable? And slowly shift your weight back to the middle and over onto your right foot, and just pause there and notice, what does that feel like now? It might feel different standing on that foot. And then let's just go slowly between the two, just to feel now how your hip joints are moving. Go all the way over onto your left foot really slowly, and then shift all the way back through the middle and over onto your right foot. And some of you might feel that your hips and pelvis are flowing now a lot more freely than they were. And then open your eyes and just go for a slow, gentle walk around the space. And some of you might feel like you're walking on very different legs. And so I really want you to encourage you to, if you can, maybe do this lesson a second time sometime this week, because it's a very profound one for reorganizing your hips, your pelvis, and your lower back. And it's a powerful one for the way we organize walking and the way we organize using our legs to go through the world. So some of you might be feeling that that feels a bit different. Now, sometimes with these lessons, if I finish early enough, I'll put you guys in pairs so you have a chance to chat with each other about what you noticed. But for today, because I've gone close to the end of the time, I'm just going to see if there's one or two people who have anything they'd like to share about what they noticed with their body. during the lesson, or maybe something you noticed at the end when you came up to standing. And I'm going to encourage you to actually share it with people, because especially the people who are beginners to Feldenkrais, it will be really helpful for them to hear what other people's experiences have been like, because it will give them ideas for what to listen for next time in themselves, what sort of things they could notice. So any of you who are at a computer with a microphone, or can pick up the phone and put it to your ear and speak with your phone, I'd love you to share. There's only about six of you on the call live, or seven of you, so just press one on your phone and I'll pass you the microphone, and you can share with the others just a couple of sentences about what you noticed in the lesson. Did something change in your body, or did it feel different when you stood up, or did it feel different when you were lying on the floor, or did it feel different when you were walking? I'm just going to wait a moment and ask a couple of you to press one and just share. It really will be very helpful for everyone's learning. So I'm going to start with, I think it looks like Mary. So Mary, go ahead, and I've given you the mic.
Thank you. I feel lovely. I feel more stable, light, very relaxed, and very even.
And were you uneven before?
Oh, definitely. Yes, I didn't feel at all as good.
Yeah, oh, beautiful. Well, thanks, Mary. That's gorgeous. Thank you for sharing that. So that's the sort of thing some of you might notice, the evenness between the two sides, how stable you feel. So it just gives people different ideas for things to listen for next time. So thanks for that. I'm going to pass now to Mishki. I'll give you the mic. Go ahead.
Hi. Hi, everyone. Look, I actually did have a lot of, and I do have a lot of hip pain in general on one side.
Mishki, I'm going to ask you to come a bit closer to your computer because we can't really hear you.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah, a little bit better, thanks.
I've got a
Yeah, that's a bit better, thanks. Great.
Okay. I suffer from hip pain anyway, so I was really, really grateful that that was the first one you did. And I did find that when I had to straighten my legs out, I was laying sort of lighter to both sides. It was lighter on each side after having done the foggy leg exercise. And then now on standing, I've noticed that I've shifted my weight definitely to the way I was standing. And a little bit of the pain has gone. So that feels great.
Excellent. Wonderful. And for those of you with pain, the kind of lessons that I did today, which are very, very slow and gentle, I recommend doing them again, because often the first time we do it, when we're sort of learning it, we might push it a little bit. When you do it the second time, do it even slower and even smaller, and you'll find it will just melt away even more of the pain. So well done. Well done for doing it in such a gentle way that you turn the volume down on your pain. Because often those of us in pain, if we go to yoga or something, we flare ourselves up. So the fact that you're feeling better shows you did it really gently. So I'm very happy. So that's good. All right, everybody. I'm going to wrap it up now because we are at the end of the hour. So I'm grateful. Thank you for those of you who shared. I really appreciate it. It's really lovely for everyone to hear. Just a couple of people. Sometimes, as I said, if I finish early enough, I'll put you in pairs. You can chat privately. But we're a very small group. There's only about 20 people doing this course, and they're, I think, all women. And I know all of you personally, you're all lovely, so don't ever feel shy about sharing. You're all very similar, beautiful, open-hearted women, and it'll be really very helpful for each of you to hear what the others are experiencing, because it just opens our eyes to different things we can listen for. So thank you so much. I can't believe that's my first ever Feldenkrais class I've taught over the cyberspace. I normally teach them live or on CD, so I'm so grateful to all of you for coming on. This has been so much fun. I can sort of feel who's on the call because I can see all your names and when you press numbers on the phone. And it's sort of like having a live class. I can imagine you all here in front of me. So it's really nice. So I just loved it. So thank you all so much. And I'll see you next week. I don't know what lesson we'll do. I'll see how I feel during the week. If anyone wants to email me any requests for anything you have in your body you want to improve, let's say you've got a sore shoulder or you find it really hard to bend down or you really want to improve your running or your golf swing, anything you'd like, just email me and I'll start making notes of ideas of what we can do, because I really want this 10 weeks to suit everyone in the class and to provide for everybody. So I may not end up being able to please everybody, but I may. So just text me, send me emails with how you found the lesson or anything you want to share or any suggestions or requests for future classes. And I'll see you all next week. And those of you listening on the recording, I hope you've enjoyed it. And everybody, you've now got you. I'm going to send this lesson out in the next 24 hours or so once my guy edits it, and so you can have it permanently to do it again. So see you guys later. I'm going to unmute everyone so you can all say goodbye to each other, those of you who have microphones. Hang on one sec. There you go. You're all live. You've all got mics. See ya.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.